Today's shiur will be beginning on Daf Kuf Aleph Omid Beis, Maseches Bava Basra. Before beginning, we recommend you're printing out the Daf Gemara, and even better than that, ordering your personal volume of Maseches Bava Basra from the Shas Ozer pre-marked Gemara edition. In the last shiur, we got involved with a sugya dealing with the construction of a burial site, cave with crypts, vaults for inserting the deceased, and dimensions. We had a machlokes tanoim concerning the number of caves that open off the chotzer, whether it be two according to the Tanakama or four me'oros that open into the chotzer, the entrance vestibule to the me'oros, four me'oros of the Fi Rebbe Shimon, and each Mora having a different dimension. The Tanakama gave his dimensions of 4 by 6 Amos, and Rabbi Shimon gave his dimension of each Mora, 6 by 8 Amos. In our marked edition, we offer at the side of the margin, the outside margin, topic headings entitled No Say. And in this case, we'll take advantage of what we have there, the Nosei Hamotzi, Hamotzei Mace. One finds a body. Mosai Noit Lenoisoi, Mosai Nechshav Shchunas Kvoros. At what point is one allowed to take the body for reinterment in a found body to be reinterred in a regular graveyard? And at what point does another halacha kick in and that says you can't move the body because what you found is you found a body that's part of an old cemetery, and bodies that were buried in official cemeteries, or cemeteries in our context are these crypt setups that the Mishnah featured. If he was buried in such a thing, he can't be moved. He's entitled to remain there for his everlasting rest. This, of course, is opposed to what we mentioned a moment before, a body that just happened to be buried by happenstance in some open area, and now you came upon it. That type of body can be reinterred. In the marking system that we've used, we notice certain sections of the Gemara with a frame around it. Those are Tanaic sources. Tanaic sources including Mishnayos and Brises, or the restatement thereof. In this case, we're going to be citing a Tanaic source. The source itself comes from Maseches Nazir, a Nazir being a person who must refrain from contact with the deceased. In our Gemara, we're not going to get involved with that. We're going to be concerning ourselves primarily with dimensions. Let us begin the source. Tanan Hosam, the Gemara, the bottom of Kuf Aleph Amud Beis, Hamotze Meis Mushkov Kedarka. One finds a body lying in a normal fashion. Notlo V'est Fusoso. He is entitled to take the body and reinter it. Take the body along with tfusaso. Tfusaso is, for our purposes, is simply the ground, the dirt surrounding the body. There are more details to the concept of the phenomenon of tfusaso, but we don't have to get into that right now. Shnayim, if one finds two bodies, notlon ve'es tfusason. He takes the two and reinters them as well. Motza shloisha. If, however, a person came upon three bodies, he came upon them at once, not one after the other, namely one, and then you removed it, reinterred it, and then came upon a second one. Rather, we're talking about a situation where one came upon three bodies at once, before any intervention. Im yesh beinehen me'arba ad shmoina. If the area, the distance between the bodies, namely the bodies and the intervening ground, is anywhere between 4 and 8 amos. Hare zu shchunas kvoros. It has a din of a cemetery site. Uboidek mimenu ulahalon esrim amo. And one must, to ensure that there aren't others around, one starts a search from those bodies and extends his search for a distance of 20 amos. As far as 20 amos, in which directions, all in all directions, etc. and so forth, the details to this are found in the Rashbam. However, as far as understanding the Gemara at hand and what's essential for our sugya, we don't have to get involved with those details. Motzo echad v'soif esrim amo. One finds a body at the end of those 20 amos. Bodek mimenu ulahalon esrim amo. He should check another 20 amos. Sheraglayim ledovar. It appears suspicious that we have encountered a grave setup. She'ilu mitchila motzoi. If he would have found those individual bodies at the beginning, not like in our case where he had found originally 3 and then at the end of the search started finding more bodies, but if he had found an individual body at the beginning, then the story would have been different. Notlo, he would have taken the individual body, the est fusoso, and the surrounding dirt. With that, we come to the end of our source, Omar Mar. Now, the Gemara cites that section of the source that is central to our sukya. Our sukya, bear in mind, is one that began in the previous year, dealing with the dimensions of the grave crypts, of the caves, the length and width of those walls. And with all of those numbers borne in mind, we continue here. Omar Mar, Me'arba V'ad Shmoina. The distance between the bodies and including the bodies, we said in the source, and you can see by using the asterisks that are found in the space between the Gemara text and the Rashbam, namely to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and the asterisk to be lined up with a previous one, and from that line we saw that if you have from 4 to 8 amos of area, of space, of distance between the 3 bodies that you found, we consider it a shchunas kvoros. That means it's an official burial site. But when looking at these numbers, 4 to 8, where do those numbers come from? Which Tanaic opinion would support that? Bearing in mind that in the source that we read, there was no name mentioned. And as characteristic of the Gemara, there's always an attempt made to take unnamed sources and try to assign it to some existing authority. The Gemara asks, Moni, who authored this number of from 4 to 8? E Rabbonon, Ho Amri, they said that the size or the length and width dimensions of the Ma'orah were Dalet Amos Al Sheish. They were 4 amos for the facing back wall, or 6 amos for the side walls. Now, we found 3 bodies. Those 3 bodies, whether they're buried, they might be buried in the back wall, or they're buried on the side wall, but the statistics that would be characteristics of the Rabbanan would be 4 amos to 6 amos. What's this 4 to 8? E Rabbi Shimon, Ho'omar Sheish Al Shmoina. Rabbi Shimon's Me'ora wall statistics were 6 to 8 amos. Once again, where does the 4 fit in? The question has been raised. The Gemara now proceeds to answer, but we encounter a geometric form. As far as today's shiur is concerned, this is the first geometric form that we're encountering. In this case, it's a diamond, bearing in mind that the geometric forms have in no inherent significance, namely, no distinction really is made between one form as opposed to the next. They all have the same role, and that is to highlight a series or repeating phenomenon. We use different forms to set off the different series from one another. In this case, we have an introductory comment also on the outside margin, entitled Nosei Mivneh. The topic heading with the structural note. Notice there's a diamond. These diamonds, as you can see on this page, you notice there are two of them with numbers in the margin between the Gemara and the Tosfos commentary. And on Amud Beis, you'll find a third diamond. They are shlavim stages. Lahazbir, we're reading our note. Lahazbir, hashiur me'arba ad shmoyne. How do we explain it? How do we account for those numbers from 48 amas? The katani b'mishnah b'maseches nozir that was found in the Tanaic source that we cited from that masechet. Be'inyan b'dikas kvoris, regarding the topic of checking out for additional graves. Shiur ze aliba daman. These statistics are according to whom? We already presented the question, and that is, it doesn't seem to conform to the opinion of the Rabbona, nor that of Rabbi Shimon. We continue in the Gemara. Le'olam Rabbi Shimon hi. We will assign the 4 to 8 statistic to Rabbi Shimon, and at the same time tell you that Rabbi Shimon is explained by different later authorities. So that even though we saw one version of Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah, that's one particular authority interpreting his ideas. There are other opinions as to what Rabbi Shimon holds. And that's what we'll see in the following Tanaic source. So Gemara has just said, Le'olam Rabbi Shimon hi, v'hai tanahu, desanya. And once again you see a framed source, but what we're going to do before we read the text, we're going to take advantage of one of our common textual markings. That's the dotted underline, the dashed underline. And notice what we featured. We notice Mishum Rabbi Shimon. It happens to be Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda featuring Rabbi Shimon. And we've also dashed underlined Midalad Amos Fiad Shmoina. Exactly the numbers that we dashed underline a few lines above in the Gemara when we started our search for who's the author. Notice above, Me'arba Ad Shmoina. So we'll be able to say that the author of that unnamed source is Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda's version of Rabbi Shimon. Even though they have the same first name, don't confuse them. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda is a later commentary on the earlier Rabbi Shimon. We read the source. Desanya, Motzon Ritzufin, V'ein Beinehem Midalid Amois Ad Shmoina. One found several bodies, and they're buried very close to one another. So close to one another is that they don't have between them these dimensions. It was a number of bodies that are buried close to each other. The rule that the Tanakhama presents is Yesh Lohen Tfusa, they are able to be reinterred, and you take along with them the surrounding dirt, the Tfusa. V'ein Lohen Shchunas Kvoros, they don't have a din of a grave, of a formal graveyard or grave site. And that's because, according to this opinion, since they're buried so close to one another, they don't have the advantage of being considered a shchunas kvoras. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer, Mishum Rabbi Shimon, he says, Royin es ha'emtsoyim ki'ilu einon, you view the middle bodies as if they're not there. In other words, they physically are densely buried. However, view them as if they're not there. Vashar mitstarfin midalad amos viad shmoina. And then we would look at the remaining ones, the more exterior ones, as conforming to this statistic that forms a grave site, the 4 to 8 amos. B'mayu kimta. So, how did we establish the unnamed source above? K'Rebbe Shimon. As we just suggested. Amos Sefer. So then, the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, let's turn to the latter part of that source, which said, Boidek Himenu Ulahalon Esrim Amo. That one, after finding the three bodies, is expected to check further, 20 Amos further. We've dashed underlined the Esrim Amo statistic, and now we're going to ask, how do you come upon that number, money? If the statistic of checking beyond those bodies is Esrim Amo, how do you account for that according to the opinions we've seen? In Rabbi Shimon, then Esrim Vitartin Havyon. If let us just imagine that those bodies that were found in the unnamed source at the top were part of a burial in the back wall of a Me'ora. Well, what are Rabbi Shimon's statistics for the Me'ora construction? And of course, it goes without saying that what we become suspicious of is that we found three bodies that were part of a Me'ora burial site. So how do you ascertain that? Well, by continuing to check out, to dig out an area of ground at the distance that would form a Me'ora. So if I found the three bodies that would form the back wall of a caved-in cave, I have to check, according to Rabbi Shimon, not 20 Amos, but rather 22 Amos. Let's just review how do we get to the 22 Amma by saying each cave length, according to Rabbi Shimon, was 8. So, starting from the back wall where I found the bodies, I go 8 Amos, and then I encounter the chotzer, the entrance area. That's 6 by 6 Amos, so it's another 6 Amos. 8 and 6 is 14. And then another 8 Amos to get to eventually another back wall of the opposite Me'ora. That's 14 plus, what, 8? 22. That's what the Gemara says. That if the unnamed source on top is in fact Rabbi Shimon, it should have said check 22 Amos. E Rabbonon, and if you would suggest, well, I can't say Rabbi Shimon, so who's my other choice? The Rabbonon. I still can't account for the 20. Tamni, sorry, Havyon, because their Me'ora length was 6 Amos. Well, I have 6 Amos of Me'ora. I'm counting from the back wall, working my way through an imagined area that would constitute a Me'ora setup. So I have 6 Amos of Me'ora length, then 6 Amos of Chotzer, and then another 6 Amos of the facing Me'ora. I get up to 18 Amos that way. Well, what do we do? The Gemara says, Li'olam Rabbonan hi. The unnamed source at the top, and you notice another diamond. As we featured before, the diamonds are stages to explain the 4-8 statistic and who is the author of it. So this second approach says, let us say it's the Rabbonan, Ukegoin, the Bodak, the Alach Soino. He checked at a diagonal. In other words, he found three bodies, and instead of measuring directly ahead of him what he would imagine as the length of the Me'ora, he checked at the diagonal of the Me'ora. As far as why one would check at a diagonal, those are details, important details, but not as far as the understanding of the flow of our Gemara. For those of you who are interested in pursuing those details, we recommend a thorough study of the Rashbam. So to account for, instead of 18, which would have been a Rabbonan statistic, how do you stay within the Rabbonan and account for 20 Amos? So as we said, checking at a diagonal, of course, as we saw in an earlier Gemara, a diagonal is a greater length than the side. So Good. We now think we can get to 20 amas. In fact, the diagonal formed by a rectangle who measures 4 by 6 amas. So the diagonal would account for an additional 2 amas in the general picture as we go along. Hence, you would get, instead of 18, we would get to 20. The Gemara asks, though, Umidaha ba'alachsona, if you're checking the first imagined me'ora at a diagonal, ha'nami ba'alachsona, then it would stand to reason you should check the next imagined me'ora also at a diagonal. Well, then, taking 2 diagonals of these me'oras, we mentioned just before that the diagonal of 1 me'ora added 2 amas to the necessity of checking. Well, 2 me'oras would add 4. So if I had 18 amas originally, I should have esrin v'tarti, havion. I should get up to 22. And that's a problem for us because we're analyzing a source, and you can see the arrows that we have positioned between the Gemara and the Rashbam commentary. This arrow points up to the previous one where we saw we're trying to find the meaning behind esrim, not his, and using Rabbi Shimon as a basis for our calculations and using the diagonal measure, you get up to 22. So the Gemara answers, don't worry. Chado balachson amrinon, tre balachson lo amrinon. Since we're checking out of a matter of sofek, we're not sure of anything. We're just checking to ascertain, to determine what we don't know. It's sufficient to do 1 diagonal checking, which of course entails additional effort, but we don't require 2. Rav Shisha Brei de Rav Idi, Omar. Rav Shisha's approach is that the Seifa, namely the unnamed source in which we saw the 20 Amma statistic, can be assigned to Rabbi Shimon. That's why we're featuring this approach as diamond number 3, and where he says, the top line of the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon Brei, Rabbi Shisha Brei, Rav Idi Omar, Li Oilam, Rabbi Shimon He. So if it's Rabbi Shimon, but we said you get up to more than 20 amas, because he had me'oras that themselves were 8 amas long plus the chotzer, he says v'hocha b'mayaskinon b'nifli, the seifa that mentioned a checking for 20 amas is talking about a burial site for miscarriages. Now we saw that the introduction of miscarriages in a previous Gemara. What does that do for us over here? It does the following. The dimensions needed for burial of miscarriages are less than standard, the standard deceased, and hence a ma'ora of lesser length would be sufficient. Let us see the Rashbam commentary. At the end of the narrow lines, you see Rav Shisha Brei, Rav Idi, Omar, Hach Seifo, Nami, Rabbi Shimon, He, Ukigon, Dahani, Shlosha, Mesim, Havu, Nifli, and the 3 bodies that were found were in fact very small. They were miscarriages. Uma'ora, Shel, Nefilim, and the cave or burial crypt for miscarriages has a different statistic. Orko, Sheish. Its length is only 6 amas, not like Rabbi Shimon's standard ma'ora length of 8. Uma'ora hashnia ches amo, and the second ma'ora that we're anticipating exists would be an 8 amo length ma'ora, because we're not assuming that since I found this first ma'ora to be for Nephilim, that the next one would also be. So that will have the standard 8 amo length, plus the chotzer, which the Rashbam doesn't mention, but we've indicated in our marked edition between the lines. So we had 6 plus 8 of 14, and the chotzer of 6, hare chof amma, 20 amas. The Gemara continues with a question. Umidaha benifli, if the first group of deceased that you found were in fact miscarriages, ha nami benifli, well, why not assume that the opposite Meora would also be for miscarriages, tamni sari havyon, and then the result of that would be an 18 amma statistic for checking. Why is it that you got to 20? The Gemara answers, chado benifli amrinon, tarti benifli lo amrinon. One cave of miscarriages, that we can say. But to extend that, to say that the opposite cave would also be that, we're not going to say that. And in this case, it results in a stringency, requires us checking a little bit more. The Gemara now goes on, raising a question that's a new idea, a new topic as far as we're concerned, but refers to text that we had earlier. Before we continue with the Gemara, let us take advantage of our topic heading in the outside margin, entitled Nosei. Yishuv Stiros B'shitas Rabbonin V'Rabbi Shimon. We're going to try to resolve what appears superficially as a contradiction within the shitas of the Rabbonin and within the shita of Rabbi Shimon. E amrinon, do we say, royin keman delesa? Do we view that which physically is there as if it's not there? Bekerem ubekvura. We'll be talking about an issue of vineyards, as that affects halachas of kilayim, and the issue of burial, a topic that we mentioned earlier. The Gemara continues. Verami de Rabbanan ad Rabbanan, Verami de Rabbi Shimon ad Rabbi Shimon. Let us try to show how the Rabbanan have seemed to have a built-in contradiction. Earlier, we saw the Rabbanan deny or not accept the concept of Royin. Royin means view, as if it's not there. Ubekerem, and as opposed to another shita of the Rabbanan regarding vineyards that we'll see shortly, where they seem to hold from the concept of Royin. And likewise with Rabbi Shimon. Let us continue. Kerem hanatua al pochos me'arba amois. If you have a vineyard and the rows constituting the vineyard, the rows of grapevines are planted within four amas of each other. It's considered a rather dense planting setup. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Eino Kerem. Because they're so densely planted, it doesn't take on the halachic status of a vineyard, but rather would have a halachic status of individual vines. That makes a big difference as far as the ability of bringing in other varieties of plants to be cultivated there. In the case of a vineyard, greater distancing must be maintained in order to allow, before we can allow, the appearance of a different variety of plant. So Rabbi Shimon says that when they're planted in a dense fashion, namely that they're within four amas, one row is within four amas of the next, it simply does not have the din, the halachic status of a vineyard. V'chachomim omrim harei ze kerem. It does have the halachic status of a vineyard, but how can that be if it's so densely planted? V'royin esfoyim soyim ki'ilu einon. And we view the middle rows, in other words, those rows that would create the density, as if they're not there. And then that which is left in our mind's eye would have the statistics characteristic of a vineyard. Let us take full advantage of the marvelous marking system that we have. Notice we have the bow tie form here with an arrow in the space between the Gemara and the Rashbam commentary, namely to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, with an Omed Aleph notation next to this arrow, underneath the arrow. That means try to find on Omed Aleph an arrow which would indicate Omid Beis. And by doing that, you flip back or scroll back to Kuf Beis Amud Aleph, in the middle of the page you see an arrow, and you might have noted even faster the bow tie marking. What do we see there on Amud Aleph? We see Rabbi Shimon, and it's Rabbi Shimon that talks about Ro'in. He says there with the bodies, Ro'in Esoim Soim Kilu Einon. And here we don't have Rabbi Shimon saying that. We have the Rabbanon taking that opinion in the case of the vineyard. The Gemara therefore summarizes Kashya de Rabbanon ad Rabbanon, the Kashya de Rabbi Shimon ad Rabbi Shimon. Just like we pointed out, we have an inconsistency. The Rabbanon in the case of vineyard say we do employ the Ro'in approach, whereas the Rabbanon in the case of the bodies didn't, and the opposite with Rav Shimon. The Gemara answers, De Rabbi Shimon, Ad Rabbi Shimon, Lo Kashya. Hasam, there in the case of the vineyard, where he does not say Ro'in, Hasam is in effect the most recent source. There in the case of the vineyard, where Rabbi Shimon did not accept Ro'in, Hasam loy nati inshi adaito le'oker. When this fellow planted the rose, he doesn't plant with the anticipation of taking that which is dense out. Therefore, he intended it to be planted like this in a dense fashion. He, in other words, intended it to be a non-vineyard. The Rashbam, he says, Lo nati inshi adaito le'akra, mi bentayim, those middle rows, pilkoch l'shem kerem nota hakol, he planted it to remain there as a vineyard, v'kimata lo nota kilchoso lo choshiv kerem. He intended it to be a vineyard on some kind of personal level, but it doesn't have a halachic status of a vineyard. So, with this piece of logic or explanation in mind, he planted it to remain there. Therefore, we can't possibly say, view them as if they're not there. He wants them to be there. Hocha, in the case of the burial, where Rabbi Shimon was introduced as holding, we do hold from Ro'in as if they're not there. In other words, the dense burial, in effect, is explain thusly, Zimnin de Isramo le Bein Ashmoshes, Umikri Umanchi le. We found several bodies there that were seemingly densely buried. It could very well be that those middle bodies, those bodies creating the density, were buried there by happenstance because it was Erev Shabbos. That's the expression of Bein Ashmoshes, a reference to Erev Shabbos, where there was very little time to, there was no time available to take that particular deceased to a burial appropriate for him. So they put him in this space that was between bodies that were otherwise properly buried, and he, this middle body, was planted in an inappropriate fashion, but he had no option because of the time factor. So he was, in effect, buried there with the intention of being removed. Therefore, we can say, let us view it as if he is not there. The Rashbam says, Mikri umonachle, bein sha'ar ha-mesem ha-nikborim kisidron. This fellow that created the density, the presence of this body that created the density, was buried amongst other deceased, buried normally, via ader ipanye, Veshemo Nenas O Shochach. And the reason he's still there is because maybe they simply forgot to remove him. But he was expected to be removed from there. The Gemara continues, De Rabbonon ad Rabbonon Nami Loi Kashya. In the case of the burial where they did not hold from Ro'in, Kevon de Minval lo Mikri Kovar. Since removal of some of a body involves some desecration, if you will, lack of respect that's involved in removing the body, So if someone is buried, they're not buried with the intention of reinterring them. The Rashbam says, Adaito Linavloi, Lachsor Ulefanoisa Misham, Hilkoch, Legamri Nikbu Lisham, Kulon Ayadei Adchak Beakroi Biamo. When they were buried there, it could be just by because of some pressing circumstances, but they were buried there with the intention of leaving them there. The Kevon di Ein Zed Mekoimon, Lo Chashvinon Le Shunas Kvoros. True that they were buried there without the intention of having been to be removed from there, but nevertheless, since this is not the formal, the correct way to bury, it's not going to be considered a Shunas Kvoros. But for our purposes, what do we want to emphasize? Since there is nivul, this desecration that's involved in reinterring, they were buried there not to be reinterred. Therefore, we cannot say, let us view them as if they're not there. But they are there with the intention of remaining there. Hasam, in the case of the vineyard, where we said that the dense planting is viewed as if the middle rows are not there. True, he planted it densely, but he also had in mind that he's going to thin it out later. Meimar Omar, people figure, hey, minayo de shapir shapir, those plants that I see that are growing nicely, that's great, I'll leave them there. Udalo shapir leve litzivi, and those that are not developing nicely, I'll eventually take them out for wood purposes. With that, we've explained how the Rabbanon can, under certain circumstances, accept Roin, and under others not accept Roin, and likewise with Rabbi Shimon, each case needing to be viewed on its own. With that, we conclude the sixth perek, and now continue with the Mishnah of the seventh. Ha'oimer lechavero, beis kur ofor ani mocher loch. Person says, I'm selling you an area known as a base kor. Base kor is also 30 sa'ah. And I'm selling you an area that's fit for planting. That's part of the intention here. Hoyu sham nikoyim amukim asorot tvachim osloim gevoyim asorot tvachim. If there are depressions, crevices in the soil that have a depth of 10 tvachim, or outcroppings of rock that have a height of 10 tvachim, ein non nimdodin ima. They are not part of the calculation of the base core area. They're not measured as part of the field. Pochos mikan nimdodin ima. If the crevices or outcroppings are less than 10 tvachim, they're measured together with the field. The im omar loy kibes kur ofar. If the arrangement was stated as kibes, approximately a base kur, afilu hoyu shom nikoyim amukim yoser me asorot fochim, oiv sloyim gevoyim yoser me asorot fochim, even if there are these crevices or outcroppings greater than 10 fochim, are elu nimdodin ima. The Rashbam says, Afilu hoyu sham nekoim amukim hulei nimdodin ima, de lohochi ahani kibes kur, the expression of kibes kur, and you've noticed how we've emphasized the chof, because that one letter makes all the difference, litfuye hani, comes to include these in the sale. Umiu ihave yoser midalid kabin, ein halokeach mekabel. If, however, these outcroppings would account for a total of 4 kav in the sale of the base core. 4 kav might be noted as 2/3 of a sa'ah, where a sa'ah is 1/30th of the base core. So you're talking about a statistic of 2/30 of 1/30th. Namely, it's less than 1/30th of the sale. If they form an area of 4 kav, these outcroppings, then the customer, the lokeach, doesn't have to accept it. Lohochi ahani mai de omar le ofar. In the sale, he said, I'm selling you a base core or kebase core ofar. That expression, it means the ro'ui l'charisha uzriya bo'inon, that we require something that's fit for cultivation. So if you have such a significant area, namely four kav, that is rock, that is not part of the deal. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.